My voice just keeps getting lower, lower, lower. About to play out. All right, Matthew chapter 28, you know it by heart, I think. Starting with verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the day that you give us. We thank you, Lord, for these that are here tonight. Lord, I thank you for just allowing me to come and preach the word. Lord, I thank you so much for this church and the people. And Lord, may we just see a revival break loose here in our lives. And God, we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Well, the background of this passage is a lost and doomed world. And Jesus says, go. Why are we to go? Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And they need repentance in their life, and they need forgiveness in their life. And he calls himself the light of the world. And the world stumbles in darkness. All you have to do is look outside these doors, and you see how the world is stumbling in darkness. But he looks at the church, and he looks at us, and he says, "Listen, ye are the salt of the earth." And we think ourselves as salt because the world is like a decaying piece of meat. It's spoiled. It's running. And we must preserve the world. We must preserve this city. We must preserve our county because we live here. And we want our lives to count for the lost. The world outside these doors, I'm talking about main society, is lost. It's lost to ungodliness. It's lost and it needs to be found. They need Jesus Christ. I believe literally as we go out into the highways, as we go out, the Bible says, into the hedges and come across people, we are to be a witness in our world. Now, the world is lost. And you would agree with me on that, no doubt. I believe that. And if the world is lost and actions speak louder than words, and they do, then less than 2% of our people, Christian people, even try to witness to a lost world. Now, either we don't believe that or we don't care that they're lost. And as you go through this week, you think about as God gives you opportunities, as you pass people, you think about their lostness and think about what Christ tells us to do. You know, if we really believe people are lost, then shouldn't we care to witness to them? Shouldn't we let them know that there is hope? For without Christ, there is no hope. And Jesus told us, in Matthew, there's two roads in life. One road is filled with people headed to a devil's hell, and there's a lot of people on it. On this road, you'll see well-respected people. On this road, you might find church people or religious people. On this road, you'll find teenagers. On this road, you'll find children. On this road, you might find whole families. They're headed down a dark trail or dark road into an eternity lost. He also tells us about a narrow road. And very few, the Bible says, on that narrow road find that road. And it leads to eternal life. Now, if you're on the narrow road, shouldn't you want to warn those people that are on a wide road or the broad road? You know, I pass people by every day, and last week I got to stand here and talk to the teenagers that are graduated. And I can see that in their lives, they're excited about getting out on their own. And I told them, believe it or not, you're right now in the easiest part of life. Out there, it's tough. Out there, it's a world. Out there, there's people, they don't really care about you. They just want your money. They just want your time. But in the end, it's up to you to make the right decisions in life. And the only way we can make the right decisions in life is to have Jesus Christ as our guide. You know, I likened it into a maze. You know, have you ever been in a maze? Anybody ever walked through a maze? Okay, it's kind of hard to do, isn't it? There's a lot of dead ends. There's a lot of turnarounds. There's a lot of, you know, maybe a shortcut. But only one way leads out. And we have to have the guide to lead us out. And that guide in our life is Jesus Christ. And we ought to want to help others and guide them safely through life. Jesus tells us in this passage of Scripture, go, tell, win, baptize, teach, and sin. We are called to be witnesses. We are called to be soul winners in our world, where we live, where Christ has planted us. Now, he commissions us to go as individual churches. I believe as a church, Christ's commission to his disciples was first a commission to his church. And his church is made up of individuals like you and I. We are his church. And a church, if it really wants to do what God has asked us to do, they go and they win and they disciple and they baptize and they teach and they sin. And evangelism is when the evangelized go out and make do evangelist work. Tell others about Jesus Christ. Now, our church's main mission, I believe, is to make disciples and evangelize. Everywhere we go, you see, every one of you. Now, I don't have the same friends you have. I don't go to the same places you go, unless it's Walmart. But let me tell you, we all come into contact with individuals who need Jesus, who lost, and we ought to be looking for that opportunity to tell someone about Jesus Christ. Everything we do in our life is to evangelize and to lift up the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the truth is, if we look at it, 99% of the time, all our energy and our money and different things is ministering to who? Ourselves. Ourselves. So much is spent on we entertaining and evangelizing and ministering to ourselves. We ought to go out as our daily routine and see the lost world as Jesus saw it. The Bible says when he saw the multitudes, he had compassion on them. But the reason we don't go so much is the ones that they don't get bent out of shape as church people do. And we ended up ministering more to them and not to the lost world. But you know, our staff takes care of our members as best as we can. And our Sunday school classes should, like I said last week, contact and make those contacts and care for theirs. Members, once they get there, they ought to be knowledgeable about each other and what they're doing. And, you know, that's where we develop our relationships with each other. And we learn about how to walk more like Christ in those areas. But as a church as a whole, when it's working right and when it's operating like I believe Jesus Christ asked us to do, then we are going as a group and telling people, you know, all over this town about the wonderful work that Jesus Christ and that blessed hope that we have. And he says, go ye. Now, a lot of times our go ye is to just to say, come to our church. And you know, most churches reach out to those with like backgrounds. And 95% go completely untouched, completely unsaved people. They're out there, and they'll never enter a church unless it's a funeral or a wedding. We've got to do better. We've got to do better than that. Our come to church will never reach the lost. You know why it won't reach the lost? We say as a church, as individuals, that we love God. Amen? We say as a church that we want to see people be saved. And come to our church will never grow a church because 50%, and that's a high number, of our own people don't ever attend. You understand that? 50%, and that's just being generous, don't even come themselves. So how would one say, come to our church, get them there? It will not. We say we love the Bible. And if we don't come, do we really expect a lost person who doesn't love God, who doesn't love the Word to come? You see, if that was the case, then we're going into the world and we're going to have to work real hard because we can't even keep our own people in church. So we are, Jesus says we are to go, and as we go, make disciples of people. And then as individuals, we are to go. Mark 5:18, there's really two great commissions, one to the church and one to the new convert. I love this story. Jesus has come and he's delivered the demonic man, and he told him, go back. He wants to go with him. He says, no, you go back home to your family and you tell them what God has done in your life. And we read that the man left and went all through his town telling them about what Jesus has done. And they saw a demon man full of demons now in his right mind. And they knew something greater than old Satan had to heal him, didn't they? We need that visible witness in our life, folks. Our lives, what you do, where you go, what you say, how you react to certain circumstances in your life, that speaks louder than words. Our actions. We must rid our lives of the filth that we drag along with us many times. And our lives should be filled with goodness. Our lives should be filled with the joy of Christ. Our lives should be filled with the peace of God in our life. People are looking at your life. And your life speaks very loudly. And when people are in trouble, Christians ought to be the first ones there to help. I'm so proud that every time we have a national disaster, you know who you see? Southern Baptists. You see their cooking and fixing and helping, cleaning up, they're there. And you know, that speaks louder than just saying, oh, we want to help, but not getting anything done. They're actually going. You know, they're doing something. They're taking the Word of God. Men are thirsty for God. And when they see Christians working alongside them, helping them for nothing, just because they love people, that makes them thirsty for what they've got. Christians are, you know, we ought to be prime steaks or whatever you want to call it. My dad said, you know, how do you get a bone from a dog? You throw him a steak. He'll let go of that bone and get that steak every time. If you want to help people in their lives, you let them see Jesus Christ in your life. You let them see what God is doing in your life. You lay down your life for them and you help them. And then not only that, we are to be a vocal witness. Jesus says, listen, I want you to tell what I have done and teach. Now, what are we to tell them? Well, I'm so glad Vacation Bible School is coming. I enjoy seeing all those kids and all our people working together. They're working together for a cause. They're telling those small lives about Jesus Christ. And in reaching those small lives and telling them about Christ, we're also reaching out to those families that bring those children. And they want to see us helping and telling them about Jesus Christ. And not only telling them in here about God's love and learning about God's love, but also in the classrooms. They're teaching them by a living example. Christianity is Christ in me. Christianity is Christ in you. And we are to be helping one another, helping people from the outside to know about our wonderful Savior. You know, I love that little song, "It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you." And that's why Jesus said to His disciples, listen, you stay in this city until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You stay and pray until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You know, that's what we need to do in our lives. Just get by alone with the Holy Spirit and let Him fill our lives. And they went to that upper room and they prayed and they met there and the Holy Spirit came. And the Bible says thousands were saved by their preaching. Folks, I know that soul winning is God's work. You know, we can go out and we can go out and we can go out all we want to, and we can't do it unless God is here first. You can't tell people about God's love if you don't have it in your own heart. They'll see right through you. And our shortage is, I believe, we're not praying. We are not right with God ourselves. And therefore, you know, how can dead spiritually people come to life unless the Holy Spirit works in their heart? And we can't tell people how Jesus loves them if we don't have that same love in our own life. And the Bible says the things of God are nonsense to the natural man. They don't understand that. So we need to pray. We need to get alone with God. And that's why we must commit our lives to pray and pray and pray that God will use us in a mighty way, that we will allow the Holy Spirit to come into our life and fill us. Now, I've talked about salvation of God. We've talked about repentance. And we've talked about faith. And people, you know, sometimes you tell them about salvation and what God is doing, and they just stand there looking in amazement at you. They can't hardly believe that we put our faith in God. Brother tells me here how God had worked in his life one time, and he said, man, you know, that's only of God. Well, we heard testimonies a while ago about God. Oh, it's so good to see him at work in people's lives. Some of you are praying, and you're praying for people to be saved. And some of you are witnessing, and you're witnessing that people and people get saved, gloriously saved in our church, in our lives, and in our people. We need to live the life for Christ. We need to say the words. But God gives the life. It's always God that gives the life, and he empowers the words that we say. You know, sometimes you be witnessing and you feel like it's just falling on deaf ears. And sometimes you witness and you just feel the power of God. That's because it's God that honors the prayer. Be a witness in your world. As you go out this week, you witness. Let your light shine. Be the salt of the earth. And let Jesus, through the person of the Holy Spirit, fill your life and fill your words with power in your life. But before you can witness, you have to be saved. You have to be saved. Jesus says, come, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus tells us to go. Jesus tells us to tell. Jesus tells us to win and to teach and then go out in the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in. Be a witness this week in your world. And if you're not doing that, then you need a deeper commitment, I believe, to the Lord. Would you do that this week? Tell people about Jesus. Let them see his light shining in you. Be that church that goes forth radiating the word of God and the love of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for your blessings. We thank you as we go out this week that we can witness to people. We can tell them. But Lord, before we go out, let's make sure that you are filling our lives with your power so that when we speak, when we tell, when we win, it'll be Christ in us. And we give you praise. For it's in your precious name that we ask these things. Amen.